with control of pests from State Department of Agriculture, Fish and Game, Forestry, et cetera. Anybody, basically anybody who has responsibility for land, whether it be corrections or fish and game, will be included in this. The bill requires that this pest management committee report to the E-Board with an implementation plan, and there's $50,000 allocated to set aside in the emergency board for implementation of this. This is a good step, and we figure that over time you'll probably save more money than by far than you're going to spend on this, because if you can develop an integrated system and skip a chemical spray, you will have saved, you save a great deal of money just in that. So there's a lot of information in the field. This will be sure, this act will be sure that the state government is doing everything it can to adopt the latest techniques in pest control that we now have. Most everybody that worked on this bill is in agreement with it.
Senator Trout.
Just wanted to add that both the those who represent the environmentalists and those who represent agriculture were supportive of this bill and had worked together to get the bill to us.
Wonderful bill.
Okay, is there any further discussion on Senate Bill 262? Any objection to sending Senate Bill 262 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation?
Money do we put in the
water? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 899 relating to livestock, Senator Fallbush.
Livestock. Oh, all right, let's do that. This is the Denny Jones Memorial Fee Bill. I'm not quite sure why he's not carrying it. I guess there's just he's a little bit reluctant to admit that there is a fee that's actually worthwhile. This is the livestock branding fee. Raises the fee from $50 to $60. Renewal fees increases those by $15. And that's really about it. The Cattlemen's Association is in favor. They're asking for this. If with these fee increases on brands, it will enable the department to continue its brand inspection program as before.
Glenn,
you got a question?
Discussion.
I'm done.
You're done. Any discussion on?
Well, they're all
Senate
looking at
Bill
me.
899. Did you want to say something, Representative?
No, not really. But they're forcing me to. This is a fee out of my own pocket. It's a fee on me personally, and if, you know, that's the only reason I'm going for it. That's the place.
Ms. Chairman.
Yes.
I was just wondering if Senator from Eastern Oregon is recommending a yes vote on the bill.
Representative.
Personally, I don't give a hoot.
No, we already took care of the hoot. We've got rid of those two folks already.
Roll call.
Roll call. You want a roll call in this?
Got to give a T-shirt back.
I think we should have a roll call then.
Representatives Gilmore.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Bunn.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Calori.
Aye.
Shipwreck.
Aye.
Co-Chair Van Lee.
Aye.
Senators Roberts.
Aye.
Annan.
No.
Tro.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
No.
Hill.
Aye.
Fulbush.
Aye.
Co-Chair Bradbury.
Aye. Senate Bill 899 having received a no. Senate Bill 899.
Fees. Against fees.
It goes to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Bill, let's do 328.
Excuse me?
One, pal.
328 skipped.
Yeah.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm sorry, 328. I didn't mean to.
328.
Senator Fallbush.
Mr. Chair.
My fault. I apologize.
Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board, as you know, was a board created to work to restore and enhance watersheds and improve water quality in rivers and streams. There's some lottery money that's been put into it. This bill is a non-fiscal impact. It simply would enable this board to accept grants and private contributions for their work. That's all it does. Good little measure.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion on Senate Bill 328? Any objection to sending Senate Bill 328 to the floor of the Senate for the due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 1197 relating to real estate licenses, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1197 authorizes brokers, salespersons, and other real estate licensees to incorporate as professional corporations. This will provide licensees the same benefits other professions, such as accountants and attorneys, presently have as professional corporations. The bill also repeals a sunset of provisions authorizing the real estate agency to enter into reciprocity agreements with other states. The subcommittee amended the bill to reduce the maximum fees the real estate agencies may charge from $50 for initial registration and $25 for biennial renewal to $20 for initial registration and $10 for renewal. The estimated revenue from the reduced fees will be closer to the expected cost to the agency. I urge your approval.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any further discussion on Senate Bill 1197? Is there any objection to sending Senate Bill 1197 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 1210, Representative Van Vliet.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 1210 is a companion to Senate Bill 1208, which was the telecommunications measure. This one deals basically with a statewide plan for managing the state's information resources as a strategic asset. But I'm going to deviate a little from a very long crib here and mention that what we have been trying to accomplish in Data Processing Committee for some time is a coordinated approach to all of the purchasing of hardware in the computer area for the state of Oregon. It's a very large mission in which a lot of agencies are involved. The subcommittee discussion made it clear that the state must move in data processing operations to open systems as soon as possible, and open systems was yet to be defined, with a very large area of debate still to be resolved there on what an open system is. But the committee encourages a very general and a broad approach to this. The subcommittee wants state agencies to move away from proprietary systems so that a vendor-specific and is not the kind of thing that would be allowed, but we would mainly try to still give agencies freedom of choice in vendor-neutral operating environment. The committee discussed timelines for providing a statewide strategic plan and that it should include in telecommunication resource linkage as well as computers, so that ties the two bills together. The bill also clarifies the role of the Executive Department and the Department of General Services for the purchase of information resources in a fair and competitive manner. Now, to shorten it up a little bit, the Data Processing Committee, along with this bill, developed essentially a set of principles for treating information resources as a asset, and that these principles will require that, one, there be a formal linkage between information systems and each agency's mission and function. Another way of saying that they try to tie agencies together. Two, that information systems like other important resources such as personnel, finance, capital equipment, and budgets are fundamental management responsibilities which cannot be routinely delegated to operations staff. Three, management must assume responsibility for linking information and mission by developing systems and implementation plans that fit within a statewide strategic plan. Four, all information created, generated, and used by state government must be treated as a resource of the state to be managed and shared across organization lines within appropriate security and privacy guidelines. And last, information must be dealt with in a broad organizational perspective and for immediate uses for which it is collected. It must be organized so as to allow the governor and the legislative assembly to establish program policy without regard to organizational lines, as well as for ongoing management of state programs. That is a very, very big set of principles, but I think it will definitely help clarify where we ought to be going in a long-range plan in information services in the state of Oregon. This bill comes late in the session, but should not be neglected as being a very important one this session. Recommend approval.
Thank you, Representative. Is there further, Representative Calori?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. First of all, I'd like to declare a potential conflict in that I do work for a company that provides these kind of services. I'd also say that, to reiterate what Representative Van Fleet said, that I think that this bill in many ways came to us because, as I understand it, virtually every subcommittee within this entire committee found some frustration in dealing with budgets and finding that we have managers who do not understand what they were what they're asking for, how the plans and data processing, if there are any, fit in with their total plans, and that we should be more exacting in asking them to understand the importance of all of this. At the same time, I'm very supportive of this bill because of the kind of things that were already read off in terms of coordinating between agencies, sharing between agencies, and with the general public. And I'm also very much in favor of fair and competitive processes and the spirit in which we have attempted to talk here about open systems and having it be vendor neutral and all those kind of things. And I think we all gain, and the state and the taxpayers gain by applying those principles. And I think we've done a good first step with this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any further discussion on Senate Bill 1210? Is there any objection to sending Senate Bill 1210 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation?
It's a Senate bill.
It is a Senate bill, but it says here to the floor of the House.
Yeah, it's been through.
I think it's been through the Senate, so it goes to the floor of the House. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2004 related to Children's Services. Representative Minnis.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2004 requires that the Joint Legislative Audit Committee conduct a performance study of the Children's Services Division. The study would describe the Assembly's intent for the Child Protective Services Program and the extent the Division meets all other legislative mandates and policies. It would also evaluate the appropriateness of the Division's organizational structure in meeting legislative mandates and policies, with particular attention to the Division's Child Protective Services programs, and would identify various methods of accountability improvements for program effectiveness. The committee amended the bill to give the Joint Legislative Audit Committee flexibility to choose the appropriate organization to conduct a performance review. The amendment also clarifies that the Legislative Fiscal Officer is the administrative agent for the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. Good bill. Good pass.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Roberts?
This is a great bill. At a time when we're cutting services to people, we appropriate $200,000 for a study to tell us, among other things, what was the intent of the Legislative Assembly in establishing the Children's Services. And to describe the current mandates and studies, to bring an organization, an outside organization of the state, spend $200,000, have them tell us how we ought to be operating this agency, when one of the principal recommendations we need to make, seems to me, is to start funding this organization rather than underfunding them, as we've done for years. And I think that it would have been interesting for the Human Resources Subcommittee that deals with CSD and with all the programs in CSD and works with the agencies in CSD, had been in a position to actually review this proposal. I think that we all know that there are real problems in CSD, and I really believe that an exhaustive study should be made of it. I'm not sure that the proper device is to bring in some national organization to come in and evaluate a house one of our organs of government is operating. So I just happen to oppose this kind of priority at this time with reference to a program which is might be able to work better, but it certainly is hamstrung by continuous underfunding on the part of the legislature.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Recognize Senator Faulbush and then Representative Minnis.
Just want to be sure we understand the amendments in the made in committee. The original bill came down with a requirement that the legislature contract with an outside national firm that had expertise in the area of child custody. That was a prescription for built-in bias. And the subcommittee took that out. So I don't know, be sure you take a look at the amendments to 2004, because we changed that. Basically now, the Joint Legislative Audit Committee shall conduct an objective, independent study of the performance of children's services. It will be basically up to Legislative Audit Committee. They have up to $200,000 to use. If they don't use all of that money for that, they can use it for other things within the preview of the Legislative Audit Committee, and those are the changes made in subcommittee. I don't disagree with Frank's concerns about spending money studying something that we don't have enough money to fully fund. But I think if you're going to do a study, the language in this bill is as objective as you're going to get if you trust the Legislative Audit Committee to make the decision on who to pick to do this without bias. So, and that's basically what the way the subcommittee set it up.
Representative Johnson.
I guess I'm going to join Senator Roberts in this. I really think that an internal audit would be entirely appropriate. I think with the new director that's in place, I think the division is going to be able to deal with its problems. I'd rather see the money spent in other ways. Much greater needs than doing this. I feel that from the experience I've had with outside studies, and that while I heard what the senator's saying, most of them aren't worth the powder to blow in the house.
Mr. President, may I interrupt and say, I did not see, I was looking at the A and Gross bill, and I didn't know that there were additional amendments proposed.
I saw the amendments too, but if you use an outside study, I was most of them, Mullman and Roberts and some of the others, we spent $50,000 to $100,000 on some of these studies, and all they do is put out a mishmash and nothing. And I'd rather see the money spent elsewhere than in this. I'm going to resist it.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. I recognize Representative Minnis.
Well, I think I've seen some of the studies that Representative Johnson is referring to. Most of those have been done by state agencies. And let me speak to the fact that when I'm not here, I also work in another role that has an interactive role with the Children's Services Division. And I might call upon the attention of the senators and representatives here that last session, 1989, was the first time, to my knowledge, the legislature ever appropriated any money to the Children's Services Division for the purpose of training internally in that department. Now, coming from the law enforcement side, where I interact with Children's Services Division, we do a substantial amount of training. That really identified the strong need for that kind of thing. However, it took that long, however long CSD's been in place until 1989, to come up with $1 million, a measly $1 million, to train people within Children's Services Division with respect to what their job is. And I think that's a crying shame. I think that we need to use a study, and we need to be very critical. The audit committee needs to be very critical of what the study is or isn't going to do, and that's the legislative oversight during the interim. But at the same time, with Children's Services problems being exacerbated by the complexity of our society, I think it's very important that we find out where in the heck we are. I do think it's a crying shame that we have people who are well-trained, serving as counselors, and people who are working with severe and chronic problems with children in our society who haven't even got the basic training and fundamentals with respect to what the mission is within the agency. And that's just one problem I can identify. I mean, we all know we've had significant leadership problems within the Human Services Department and Children's Services Division. And there are a lot of things I think they can do to improve their operation. I don't think the study is intended to be critical at all of how that operation has or has run in the past, but hopefully to give us a ground zero, a place to start and move on into the future and try to meet the needs of the children in the state. So I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying I think the study is very, very, very necessary, and I don't think we should depend any of our actions upon the outcome of any one study. We all have to be very critical of those, whether they're done by a state agency or an outside agency, and hopefully the study will be very, very productive for all of us.
We'll consider that a closing.
Want to know how I really feel about it?
Should we call the roll, or is there any objection beyond Representative Johnson's objection? Let's call the roll on sending House Bill 2004 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation.
Representatives Gilmore?
No.
Jones?
Aye.
Bunn?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Calori?
Aye.
Shipwreck?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Co-chair Van Vliet?
Aye.
Senators Roberts?
No.
Hannon?
Aye.
Trow?
No.
Yee?
Aye.
Kearns?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Fulbush?
Aye.
Co-chair Bradbury?
Aye. Motion is adopted. House Bill 2189 relating to the Groundwater Advisory Committee, Representative Shipwreck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Groundwater Advisory Committee provides advice to the Water Resources Commission on issues related to groundwater and well constructor licensing. This bill would expand the membership of that committee from 5 to 9 members. The bill would also allow the committee members to receive travel reimbursement. The Water Resources Department will absorb these costs within their budget. They are minimal. Testimony showed that they wish to expand the membership of this commission, advisory committee, because of the concerns about groundwater within the state. And unfortunately, since Eastern Oregon is critical to those discussions, they've had a couple members, in fact, quit the commission because they simply couldn't afford the travel costs and spending the night Water Resources Department has posed this bill to help them out a little bit, and so they get better advice on groundwater in the state of Oregon.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any discussion, any further discussion on House Bill 2189? Is there any objection to sending House Bill 2189 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so House Bill 2432 relating to members of the Workers' Compensation Board. Representative Shipwreck.
Under current law, the membership of the Workers' Compensation Board will be reduced from 9 members to 3 members after June 30th, 1991. House Bill 2432 provides for a 5-member board by requiring the governor to appoint 2 new full-time board members by August 1, 91 to serve through June 30th, 1993. The board is also granted the authority to appoint up to 2 pro tem members for terms of up to 100 days if the board determines the caseload is large enough. The subcommittee amended the bill to provide that the board shall directly supervise the presiding referee who is responsible for administrating the hearings division. The subcommittee approved an additional expenditure limitation for the board of $547,237 to fund the new board members authorized by the bill, as well as the staff necessary to assist the new board members.
Thank you, Representative. Recognize Representative Gilmore.
Representative Shipwreck.
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, last session we increased the board because of some caseload problem.
Mm-hmm.
What's the up-to-date figure?
They did supply them. I was happily surprised that they have, in fact, drove that backlog down substantially, and appreciate the hard work that the board has put in it.
Appreciate that report.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon, then Representative Jones.
Representative, is this going to maintain those as a permanent position or just for this biennium?
The 2 new ones?
The 2 new ones.
This is only for this coming biennium.
And it's repealed, or we have to look at it again in 93, or what?
It's you look at section, I just read it. It does state that in 93, line 15, 14 and 15, they shall cease June 30th, 93.
One more question.
Let's get Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chairman,
here first.
I just want to ask for clarification. It says the term of office
of each individual appointed. It doesn't say that this section is repealed in 93. Just says a term of office. I would consider that to mean a vacancy would occur in that position.
Okay, Doug.
Doug.
Mr. Chair, the intent of the bill is to make it for only for this one biennium, and it was sunset. Looking at the language in this, it does appear unclear.
Yeah. Would it make sense to
send it back?
To send it back to get that clarified?
I think it might be, Mr. Chairman.
Would there be any objection to re-referring House Bill 2432 to the General Government?
Subcommittee on General Government.
General Government Subcommittee for the purpose of making that amendment?
Well, you read it.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. See if we can get that back quick, okay?
We'll schedule it for Monday.
Yeah. House Bill 3404 relating to agriculture. It's a pretty broad relating clause. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This measure is part of a water management plan developed by the Oregon Association of Nurserymen to protect streams and groundwater from container nursery irrigation runoff. The goal of the plan is to achieve no runoff during the May 1 to October 1 irrigation season. As an alternative to obtaining a discharge permit from the Department of Environmental Quality, the measure permits nurseries to develop a management plan to eliminate the charges by June 1 of 93. House Bill 3404 places a $500 cap per year on fees charged to the nursery owners with a sunset date of June 30th, 95. The Department of Agriculture would collect a $50 filing fee and then assess plan review fees from $160 to $310, depending on the complexity of the plan and time required for review and verification. The committee heard testimony from Oregon Association of Nursemen in support of the bill. Container nursery operators are willing to pay these fees for Department of Agriculture assistance with developing and carrying out water management plans. I'd recommend that we change our water and pass this bill.
Thank you, Representative Jones. Is there any further discussion of House Bill 3404? If not, is there any objection to sending House Bill 3404 to the floor of the House with due pass recommendations? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 3564, Representative Minnis.
Yeah, I read that earlier.
Chairman, members of the committee, this bill rewrites legislation that was adopted in 1981 for 911 emergency telephone service to mandate and fund enhanced 911 service throughout the state by January 1st of the year 2000. Enhanced 911 telephone service automatically provides the 911 operator the address and telephone number of the person calling for assistance. The bill increases the 3% emergency service telephone tax to 5% effective January 1st, 1992, and the 5% tax sunsets on January 1 of the year 2000. The bill directs a portion of the revenue to the Emergency Management Division for administration of the enhanced service and creates an enhanced 911 subaccount within the existing emergency communications account for distribution of funds to local jurisdictions on a reimbursement basis. A contingency 911 subaccount is also created to provide for reimbursement during the periods when telephone tax receipts are low. The bill also provides for a greater oversight of local jurisdiction plans and expenditures than has been the case with the 911 basic service. The subcommittee amended the bill to clarify language related to the civil liability of jurisdiction employees and to specify that amounts going into the newly created subaccounts are based on total quarterly balances in the emergency communications account rather than account balances after payments for administrative expenses, and we recommend an aye vote. Probably one of the only tax increases this legislature will see.
You haven't been here that long.
Maybe.
Thank you, Representative. Sorry. Is there discussion of House Bill 3564? Is there any objection to sending House Bill 3564? Yes, let's call the roll on House Bill 3564.
Representatives Gilmore?
No.
Jones?
Aye.
Fun?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Calori?
Aye.
Shipwreck?
No.
Minnis?
Aye.
Van Bleet?
Aye.
Senators Roberts?
No.
Cannon?
No.
Tro?
No.
E?
Aye.
Karens?
Aye.
Bill?
No.
Bubush?
Three.
Co-chair Bradbury?
Aye.
Nine ayes.
Got it.
House Bill 3564 goes to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation.
Chairman, I'm sure Representative Cease will be happiest since he's the chief sponsor.
Okay. Other bills previously reported out to full committee. Senate Bill 1202, Senator Tro.
Thank you, Mr. Co-chair. Bill 1202 is an old friend that insists on coming back to our subcommittee for a visit periodically.
This is his last visit, we hope.
We hope it's his last visit. It's getting smelly, as Representative Van Fleet said. Basically, it's the fee bill on commercial fishing, which contains an ad valorem tax and license fees related to commercial fishing. The new revenue raised by the bill is needed to fund existing commercial fishing programs, including hatcheries, within the budget of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Now, the subcommittee reviewed the revenue impact of a substantive committee amendment that reduced the tax on shellfish and food fish other than salmon and steelhead. The revenue projection is based on numerous forecasts, such as price and harvest levels that are subject to substantial variation. The subcommittee decided, and this is the problem with this bill, it's been going back and forth between various agricultural committees and the subcommittee with regard to the amount.